Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce the Vice President of the United States, Joseph Biden.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again.
I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century. A new world order for the 21st century in a way consistent with American interest and the common interest.
And what he means by the new world order, they're just ushering in the old world order.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on the 1st of October, 2014. My name is Walt Stickle, and we'll be, and my co-host tonight is Tom Fress of Inquisition Update. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Good evening, Walt, and good evening to your listeners.
Well, first of all, I'd like to, this is called Mystery Babylon News Radio. And one of the reasons for this is because Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Here's a quote from Faith of Our Fathers, Cardinal Gibbons, page 106. This is a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. The penetration of the religion of Babylon became so general and well known that Rome was called the New Babylon. And the main goal of Mystery Babylon News Radio is to expose Mystery Babylon Radio, is to expose Mystery Babylon and the Antichrist. The papacy is biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. And with that, I'd like to, we're going to go over an article that was written in 2011. It was written by Joshua Green, and the title of it is Michelle Bachmann's Church Says the Pope is the Antichrist. The Iowa front-runner for the GOP denomination was a long-standing member of a strict Lutheran synod with a controversial views of Catholicism. Michelle Bachmann is practically synonymous with political controversy, and if the 2008 presidential election is any guide, the conservative Lutheran church she belongs to for many years is likely to add another chapter due to the nature of its beliefs, such as its assertions explained and footnoted on this website that the Roman Catholic Pope is the Antichrist. Bachmann was a longtime member of the Salem Evangelical Lutheran Church in Stillwater, Minnesota, which belongs to the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. It's called, on the article, it's in parentheses as well, so I'll call it the church from now on, so we won't have to repeat that long word. A council of churches founded in 1850 that today comprises about 400,000 people. The church is the most conservative of the major Lutheran church organizations, known for its strict adherence to the writings of Martin Luther. The German theologian who broke with the Catholic Church and launched the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. This includes endorsing Luther's statement about the papacy. From the church's doctrinal statement on the Antichrist, quote, since Scripture teaches that the Antichrist would be revealed and gives the marks by which the Antichrist is to be recognized, and since this prophecy has been clearly fulfilled in the history and development of the Roman papacy, it is a scripture which reveals that the papacy is the Antichrist. You'd like to comment on that, Tom?
Very well stated. That scripture predicts the rise of Antichrist and then describes all the specific characteristics of that Antichrist, and that history reveals the perfect fulfillment of the prophecies of Antichrist, and that fulfillment is the Roman Catholic papacy. Therefore, scripture, not man, but scripture, reveals that the papacy is the Antichrist.
That's the end of the doctrinal statement. During the 2008 presidential campaign, Barack Obama's relationship with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright nearly derailed his quest for the Democratic nomination, for the video surface of Wright's extreme pronouncements. Similarly, the views of Bachman's church towards the papacy, which are well outside the mainstream of the modern political discourse, could pose a problem as she pursues the Republican denomination. You know, I'd like to make a comment here. It's outside the mainstream of modern political discourse. I mean, I think this is a real good example. The reason I wanted to talk about this tonight is the title of this broadcast is Romanism and the Reformation in 2014. They're calling like it's kind of slander to use historical facts. You got a comment, Tom?
Well, it's since Vatican Council II, and even before that, it has become more and more politically anathema to refer to the papacy in the traditional Protestant form, that of Antichrist. In this country, we're supposed to have a separation of church and state. So politicians, according to the Constitution, are obliged to keep separate government and religion. But the fact of the matter is, the papacy is the Antichrist, and the papacy also is a controlling element in the government. Most of the political leaders of our country, and most of the political leaders in our country today, are either Roman Catholic, Jesuit trained from Jesuit universities, or they're ecumenical evangelibellies that are sympathetic to the Roman Catholic Church. And so now it's even more highly sensitive, discuss Roman Catholicism in Protestant terms. The Protestant tradition is based on the fact, the biblical, historical, and prophetic fact, that the papacy, and only the papacy, fulfills all the prophecies of the Bible related to the little horn of Daniel, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. The prophet Daniel, the apostle Paul, and the apostle John all spoke of the same thing, the Antichrist of the Bible, and they gave its history in prophetic terms. And all we have to do is to look at history to see the fulfillment thereof. And that knowledge that the papacy was the Antichrist of the Scripture, the little horn, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist was the papacy, Protestant Reformation. And this church, named after its founder, Martin Luther, the beginning of the Protestant Reformation in Europe, holds to that traditional, that biblical, that historical, and that prophetic definition of the papacy, that it is the Antichrist of Scripture. And it's Michelle Bachmann who found it necessary during the presidential elections, a one-time member of that church, to repudiate the idea that the Pope is the Antichrist. And why did she do that? Simply because in order to get elected, she had to. Since her church identified the papacy as Antichrist, as all Protestant churches do, as all true Protestant churches do, she was questioned about it. And in order to have any hope at all, 2008 presidential campaign, Michelle Bachmann had to repudiate her church's doctrinal statements on the Antichrist. And that made it a public issue and an issue carefully watched by all politicians, especially those interested in becoming national politicians in Washington, D.C. And so now the password for an office in Washington, D.C. is you must renounce the idea that the papacy is the Antichrist. In other words, you must renounce the Scriptures. Back to you, Walt.
Because scripturally, the Roman Catholics don't follow Scripture, and the Reformation was built on the Scripture.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Continuing in the article, seeking to better understand the Church's theology and how voters could regard it, I called the Reverend Marcus Burkholz of Salem Lutheran Church in Stillwater. When I identified myself, he hung up. Turning the other cheek, I called the church and had slightly a better luck. While I didn't get to speak to a pastor as I had hoped, Joel Hockmuth, the communication director, did the best to oblige. On the matter of the Antichrist, he said, some people have this vision of a little devil running around with horns and red pointed ears. Luther was clear that by Scripture, he meant anybody who puts himself up in the place of Christ. Luther never brought the idea of the popes being God's voice in today's world. He believed Scripture is God's word. Hockmuth hastened to add that despite the lengthy doctrinal statements, the belief that the Pope is the Antichrist has never been one of our driving principles. Maybe it should be. That's my comment.
Well, I've actually read the statements from the Wells Synod. And it is in their doctrinal statements. It's a matter of doctrinal belief in that church that the papacy is the Antichrist of Scripture. And it has been, contrary to what Topcliffe has said, that it has been and it still is one of the driving principles of Lutheranism, true Lutheranism. So even here we have this Hockmuth, a representative of that church, trying to back away from his church's official doctrinal statements.
To be politically correct.
To be politically correct, to be non-offensive. Naturally, Rome's going to be offended. Roman Catholics are going to be offended at the accusation, the truthful accusation, that the papacy is the Antichrist. And Hockmuth, rather than take the issue to bear, he simply made a wishy-washy statement, quote, that it has never been one of our driving principles, which is clearly false if you read the doctrinal statements of his church, which I have read, and they are historically Protestant in their content, referring to the small-called articles. And it's traditional, biblical, historical, and prophetic Protestantism and its belief that the papacy is the Antichrist.
Continue.
Shame on Hockluft.
Yes.
For misrepresenting the doctrinal statements of his own church.
Getting the chance to be vocal and avoiding the real issue, you know, that the Antichrist.
Well, that church is afraid to suffer persecution. It's always throughout history been the reason for persecution to accuse the papacy of being the Antichrist of Scripture. True Protestantism, all who believe, who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But some so-called believers are afraid to suffer persecution, clearly identifying the counterfeit Christ in this world. Now, his church's official doctrinal statements are clear on the issue of the Antichrist. It was, it is, and it always will be the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church. And it matters little what Hockmuth says to anyone else but God. And he has to believe in his heart, if he's a true Protestant, if he's a true Bible believer, that the papacy is the Antichrist, and he should have stood firm on his doctrinal faith.
Okay. Continuing the article now, Hockmuth also revealed that Bachmann is no longer a member of the church congregation. I do know that she has requested a release for her membership. He said, adding that she took the usual step of formality requesting the release in writing. She has not been an active member of our fellowship during the last year. Hockmuth would speculate on whether her presidential ambitions factored in this decision. The nation's 70 million Catholics who lean Republican might not respond kindly to the Pope as an Antichrist stuff. But he did emphasize that. It's not something you're going to hear preached from our pulpits every Sunday.
Now, that much is true, that the papacy is the Antichrist is rarely preached from the pulpits of the so-called Protestant churches. But that's the foundation. The double foundation of Protestantism, that Christ is the Savior and that the papacy is his counterfeit.
Nevertheless, the statement alarmed prominent Catholics. Clearly, that is anti-Catholic, said Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, a national organization devoted to protecting Catholic civil rights. I want to stop there, Tom. Is that anti-Catholic or pro-Bible or pro-Scripture?
It's pro-Bible. The truth just happens to be against Roman Catholicism. History and prophecy and the Bible just happen to be against Roman Catholicism. And Bill Donahue has the insurmountable task of defending that cult and protecting the rights of Catholics in this country. You might ask Bill Donahue what rights that Protestants have in this country to tell the biblical, historical, and prophetic truth about the Roman Catholic papacy, and to discuss and to reveal to the whole world that Protestantism was built on the reality, the truthful reality, the carefully considered reality, that the papacy fulfills all the prophecies of the Bible regarding the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist of the Bible. And Bill Donahue has to reach to extremes to protect that diabolical church and his most diabolical papacy.
He continues.
They call it hatred. They call it anti-Roman Catholic bigotry. But is it bigotry to tell the truth? Is it bigotry to say that Adolf Hitler was a Jew-hating Roman Catholic Nazi, an exterminator of the Jews? Well, of course not. That's historically true. And so is it true that the papacy fulfills all the prophecies of the Bible regarding the Antichrist?
Yeah.
They call it hatred? Is it hatred to say that Adolf Hitler was a Nazi, and that he served the papacy, and that he killed the Jews, and that he led Germany into a holocaust of not only Jews, but Protestants and Orthodox Christians, during the Second World War? Is that hatred?
Is it hatred to tell the truth?
No, it's not hatred to tell the truth. The Bible tells the truth, and that's why it spends so much of its time. The Bible spends so much of its text describing to the world that power that would deceive the whole world and that would be the object of God's wrath when he returns. It's the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church. It's counterfeit Christianity. That was the very foundation of Protestantism. Michelle Bachmann decided she wanted a written separation from that church because she's no longer Protestant. That means she must be Catholic.
She's ecumenical.
Yes.
Yes. It's
just another word for wishy-washy about Antichrist.
Bill Donahue continues, this kind of hatred is reminiscent of Bob Jones. I believe Bachmann has in the past condemned anti-Catholicism, but there's no question, all you have to do is read it, that they clearly have an anti-Catholic statement up there. Donahue said he would refrain from making any judgments until he heard from Bachmann, who, he said, must address the matter promptly. We never went after Obama for sitting there for 20 years listening to Reverend G.M. America. Right. I don't want to give him a pass, but I saw no bigotry on Obama's part. Similarly, I see none on Bachmann's. Clear that the Synod's teachings are noxious, and it's important for her to speak to the issue. Obama had to answer for Wright. McCain had to answer for John Hagee, and this is something that Bachmann has to answer for. Is it noxious? I mean, to give historical facts on the Reformation?
It's noxious to the Roman Catholic Church. And when the Roman Catholic Church is in power, telling the truth becomes a sin. Telling the truth becomes a mortal offense. That's how Rome has justified all of her inquisitions and her crusades and her world's wars, to persecute, to kill, and to torment and torture and to condemn all those who stand up on the side of Christ and the Scriptures and declare the papacy to be the Antichrist and the Roman Catholic Church to be the scarlet harlot of Revelation chapter 17. But the truth is still the truth, and we are commanded to tell the truth. And McCain ran up against this same problem when he politically aligned himself with John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee. And Pastor John Hagee, who is presumed to be a Protestant, repudiated his historical Protestant beliefs. The John Hagee ministries used to, in the past, a long time ago, were careful to reveal to his listeners and to his followers that the papacy was the Antichrist of Scripture. But even John Hagee was forced to renounce his traditional Protestant belief in order to save face and save the campaign of John McCain. And Bachmann has to do the same thing.
And
Protestantism is dying for lack of biblical, historical, and prophetic truth about the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church.
Calling the teachings are noxious. In other words, it's getting to the point. We can see this right on the horizon, like reading a book like Romanism and the Reformation by Henry Grattan Guinness is going to be considered hate.
Yes, telling the truth about the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church is going to be regarded as hate speech in this country.
This is the start of the total gag that they're going to put on all history. I mean, was it obnoxious? Were the Roman Catholics obnoxious when they, during the Inquisition, in the 68 million? during the Inquisition. Is that obnoxious? And I'll continue with the article. For context, I spoke to the theologians familiar with Luther's church history, who generally agree with Hockman's characterization of Luther's views on the Antichrist. Some had suggested that it would be useful to think of the church as sitting well to the right of the two other major Luther organizations in America. The Liberal Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which is 4.5 million members, and the Conservative Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod, which is 2.4 million. And by the way, I was baptized and confirmed, in the Missouri Synod, and I never heard one. Never in my life until I was probably 65 years old did I hear anything that the papacy was ever even remotely the Antichrist. Because why? Because we didn't get any history and they don't teach it. They have overcome all the seminaries and the Bible colleges. All the seminaries and Bible colleges teach futurism. So they put the lid on it. The Wisconsin Synod is relatively small, conservative church body. Terrence P. Reynolds, the chair of the theology department at Georgetown University, who trained in the Missouri Synod with a PhD from Brown University, told me they believe that the Christian church's task and their role is to proclaim the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. For some church bodies, the understanding of the pure gospel can be largely limited to the proclamation that we are saved by Christ. For others, it can involve a rich and substantial content of doctrinal understandings that surround that claim. The church understanding of the pure gospel would fit well in the later category. The strict adherence to doctrine and an awareness of how sharply it conflicts with modern societal norms probably accounts for the church's 9-page statement on the Antichrist. Hockmus protestations standing, the church's position on the Pope and the Antichrist is perfectly clear. Those who can...
Right, and I read it. It is perfectly clear. I read all 9 pages of it, and it is perfectly clear. Those who consider themselves strict Lutherans cannot simply dismiss Luther's teachings about the papacy. Luther taught unequivocally that the papacy was and always will be the Antichrist of the Scriptures.
This is a way of refuting the historical Reformation.
That's right. It's counter-Reformation.
Yes. Yes.
This is all Jesuit-led. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that Michel Bachmann was at least tutored some at a Jesuit university. But go right ahead.
Those who consider themselves strict Lutherans cannot simply dismiss Luther's teachings. Even as its discomfort with that conclusion is plain to anyone who reads the full statement. For instance, it goes out of its way to make clear its position that it considers Roman Catholics to be Christian, a point of Hockmuth made to me as well. In fact, the only person really disputing any of the Bachmann herself, confronted during a candidate's debate in 2006, she denied her church's position on the Pope. This was Pat Kessler. He was the debate moderator, and he's speaking. He says, "We'll start with Senator Bachmann. Religion and politics that has crept into this campaign over and over again, the Minneapolis-based Star Tribune reports today, Senator, that the church you belong to is affiliated with the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, which, it says, regards the Roman Catholic Pope as the Antichrist. Is this true? Do you share the views of your church? And why should any Catholic in the 6th District vote for you if it is true? And this is Bachman's reply. Well, that's a false statement that was made. And I spoke with my pastor earlier today about that as well. And he was absolutely appalled that anyone would put that out. It's abhorrent. It's a religious bigotry. I love Catholics. I am a Christian, and my church does not believe that the Pope is the Antichrist. That's absolutely false. Now, this is an absolute refutal of the truth. Her church does. I mean, to get elected, she's selling her soul.
And not only that, because Michelle Bachman does not view the papacy as the anti, she also does not view the papacy's involvement in our government, our State Department, our Department of Defense, the Supreme Court, the Democrats, the Republicans of Congress and the Senate, and even the White House. She does not see the Vatican's involvement in every aspect of government in this country and even the civil laws of this country to be, well, anything but Christian involvement, when in fact it is the involvement of the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist of the Bible.
And she's denying the reformers. She's denying the Reformation. She is saying that the reformers were wrong. That we owe an apology.
In other words, she has joined the Counter Reformation.
Yes. This is so relevant to today. In the reading of Romanism and the Reformation by Henry Grattan Guinness. I mean, what is happening today and what's happening in this article, it's a complete refuting of the Protestant Reformation, the very thing that gave us the Bible, that put the Bible in our hands.
Protestants, what few there really are left in this country, are fast becoming an extremely hated minority.
I want to continue here. Bachman's campaign did not respond to emails and phone calls seeking comment.
Sure, and who would be calling to have comments made by Bachman? Protestants. And there's not one Protestant rebuttal in this entire expose. There's not one Protestant rebuttal to Bachman's statements. And that just confirms that the papacy is in control of the press. Better believe that there was some Protestant protestation against Bachman's refutation that the papacy was the Antichrist. She just simply didn't want to deal with it anymore. It was a hot potato. And she made it as much a contention of the presidential election that she wanted to.
And for another reason, once you understand who the Antichrist is, you'll see the United States government in reality.
Sure. You see Rome's involvement in the government.
Total.
There's only so far they want this discussion to go, because if the discussion goes too far, it'll become plainly evident that the papacy's in control in Washington.
That's right. And that's one of the, this is not to throw stones or be an anti-religious bigot. This is to expose who is really controlling our government. This is proof. They will not allow the truth. How many of the people that read this, people that would read this article, would understand what it's even all about?
Only true Protestants. And only those aware of what the Protestant Reformation stands for.
Well,
and what Roman Catholicism stands for. And they are few and far between.
and look at myself as an example. I was raised a Lutheran. I was given no history.
Were never told that Martin Luther proclaimed the papacy to be the Antichrist of Scripture.
Never. Not even a hint towards that.
Well, I was a Baptist and an evangelical all my life, and I never heard it in any of the churches that I attended. So it isn't just the Lutheran church that has abandoned the truth.
There's
not Rome.
There's a message in this broadcast tonight that people need to get some books and understand the Reformation. The Reformation, the real history of the Reformation, you can't even find the books. You have to search for books. It's not being taught in any university or any Bible college. I mean, this message needs, people need to get a book, and a good book to start with, is Rulers of Evil by Tupper Saucy. And there's many, many more. Tom, if you can go to Inquisition Update and look in the archives, Tom has read multiple books over the last 4 or 5 years. Continues, Reynolds of Georgetown University says that this view of the papacy, alarming though it may be to the modern political world, has over the centuries endured in some forms of Protestantism. The discussion of the papacy arose during the exchanges Luther had with Roman Catholic Church during the Reformation, he explained. Luther thought the Scripture proclaimed clearly that we are saved by grace and that faith alone is what justifies us before God. For Luther, those claims were the fundamental teachings of the Scripture and should be the focus of the Church's proclamation. But the Roman Catholic
Georgetown University says the focus of Christianity should be on Christ and should not be about the Antichrist. That's what he's truly saying here in this wordy paragraph.
That's right.
See, Rome does not want us to talk about the Roman. It doesn't want us to compare the prophecies of Daniel, Paul, and John to the history of the Roman Catholic Church, because when we compare the prophecies of Daniel, Paul, and John with the history of the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church, you come to the Protestant understanding that the papacy fulfills every single one of those prophecies to perfection. Now, this Jesuit Georgetown University representative wants Christianity to be about Christ and Christ alone. And he uses Luther as the example that said that salvation is by faith, by grace through faith alone. And we're justified before God by grace through faith alone. And that should be the discussion of Protestants. But Luther didn't just stand on the faith that made us saved and justified before God. He also pointed out to the Christian world who the great deceiver of the world was at that time. The one who perverted the gospel, who persecuted the saints, and who would be destroyed at Christ's coming. The Roman Catholic Church and the papacy. That is the other side of Martin Luther's teachings. But Jesuit Georgetown University doesn't want us to talk about the second plank of Protestantism.
He doesn't want to tell us what made the Protestant Reformation explode.
Sure, nobody was protesting that Jesus was the Christ and died for the sins of the world. What the Protestants protested about was the papacy's counterfeit. That he was the representative of God on earth. That he is the one who had the keys to open the doors of heaven for every man, woman, and child. It was the papacy who said that it's necessary for salvation that every human person be subject to the Roman pontiff. That was, and Luther stood up against the Antichrist. And that's what made him a Protestant. And that's what makes every Protestant a Protestant. And if you do not protest the Antichrist of Scripture, you cannot call yourself a Protestant.
No. He goes on. But the Roman Catholic Church insisted that faith alone was insufficient, and that good works dictated and overseen by the church were necessary for salvation. As the debates continued, Reynolds said, Luther became more and more frustrated with Rome's rejection of justification by grace alone through faith, and began to link the churches on this matter with scriptural references to the Antichrist. According to the scripture, anyone who seeks to undermine the purity of the gospel and the clear teaching of scripture in the name of the gospel, or anyone who becomes anti-gospel, is the Antichrist. What is more Antichrist than the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church, Mystery Babylon?
Sure.
So Luther made the claim that the Pope is the Antichrist, insofar as the Pope insists upon obedience to his office and on work righteousness, both of which demean the atoning work of Christ. That theological basis for the Wells Church claim, it may be up to Bachmann to furnish a political one. I mistakenly wrote that Professor Reynolds had trained in the Wisconsin Synod. This sentence has been updated and corrected to say that he trained in the Missouri Synod and later at Brown University. For anyone intended in further reading, Reynolds says that the claim that the Pope is the Antichrist appears in the Lutheran Confessions, in the small called
articles. Yes, the small called articles were those which the Wells Church used as the basis for their doctrinal statements. The small called articles; those are Protestant proclamations.
Teaching shows forcibly that the Pope is very Antichrist, who has exalted himself above and opposed himself against Christ, which he has. Very true statement. Because he will not permit Christians to be saved, and without his power, which nevertheless is nothing and is neither ordained nor commanded by God.
All right, that's a direct quote from the small called articles.
Okay. And we've only got about a minute, Tom. I would like to, for more on the Reformation and the Romanism and the Reformation, we have a call on Sundays. You go to Grand Design Exposed, and it's every Sunday at 7 Eastern Time. And anyway, would you like to tell them where they can listen to you on Inquisition Update, Tom?
Yes, you can also listen to Inquisition Update Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, where Protestant works are read and explained and discussed. Thanks for the invitation, Walt.
Okay, God bless, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.